You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
All right, we're on the record, State of Arizona versus Lori Daybell. It's 10:02 a.m. The attorneys are present, the defendant's present. This is the time set to discuss a few of the motions before we bring in the jury at about 10:15.
Judge, I do have one other thing to raise that goes back to what we dealt with yesterday. Apparently, Ms. Vallow also attempted service on another one of the next of kin in Louisiana, Larry Woodcock. Again, that information, including his address, which she should not have access to and in violation of victims' rights and the Arizona Constitution, was filed with the clerk's office. So we have not only, we have multiple people that she's subpoenaing that are not on her 15.2 that she's violating victims' rights for. So I'm going to ask, of course, the court seal that subpoena as well, since it includes his address.
All right. It's ordered sealing any subpoena that was filed relating to Larry Woodcock. Do you have outstanding subpoenas on next of kin or, well, let's start with there. Next of kin.
Let me check, Your Honor. Check on that, Your Honor, but not that we're aware of.
As to the extent that you have subpoenas for next of kin on either of your cases, you need to coordinate the service of those subpoenas through the county attorney's office. They can facilitate in that and getting those people served if they are indeed witnesses that have relevant information in these cases.
And both of those people, Your Honor, Robert Vallow and Larry Woodcock, were not on my list and were not intended to be subpoenaed. So it was an oversight.
So I don't know how OPDS got that information to serve them subpoenas. So someone on your team needs to double check with OPDS that the correct people are being subpoenaed.
And Your Honor, they are signed by the defendant. So
all right.
She is the one who's signing those subpoenas. She is the one acting as counsel. So she is the one asking to send those out.
So how was it an oversight?
I just signed them all, and we got them prepared, and I signed them all, and I did not check them. It's my own fault. But I apologize to the families.
So do you know the names of all the people you subpoenaed, or you just signed a stack of subpoenas?
I did sign the stack, but I thought I was aware of all that they were the ones that I had asked to subpoena.
For this trial or for the next one as well?
Just for this one. We haven't done our subpoenas yet for the next trial.
I'll try. And for the next trial, I need you to be more diligent in what you're signing. And if there is a subpoena for someone who is a next of kin or a victim under the victim's Bill of Rights, the subpoena that needs to be coordinated through county attorney's office, or is there a victim representative attorney? I haven't had one yet.
There is not a victim representative attorney, so it would come through us, Your Honor.
Okay. We sort of addressed the motion in limine yesterday about the questioning of any police personnel regarding the timing of the arrest, why the investigation took as long as it did, who was or wasn't arrested. Again, I'll ask the defendant, if you think those are questions that you need to ask, please ask to take a break first. But otherwise, I'm expecting you to not ask those types of questions of any witness. We then have let's take up the Janice Cox and Summer Shiflett video. You've had a chance to review that?
I did.
What's your position on the state's motion?
Your Honor, I obviously think that it should not be precluded, that it is evidence in fact of why that happened on July 11th, that it happened. So if there had been no bat, there would have been no gun. It was a reason why self-defense was a even an issue on that day, on July 11th.
Let me make sure I understand the state's position correctly. There is, the state hasn't seen the actual video that these two witnesses have watched?
Correct. Apparently.
So absent someone coming in and introducing the actual video into evidence, which could have its own evidentiary issues, but absent that, they can't testify in court about things they saw on a video because it's hearsay. They're testifying to things that they observed outside of court, and there's no verification, no way to cross-examine on that. So my ruling would be that unless some video comes in and someone lays foundation for that video, that no witness would be allowed to discuss what they view, what they saw, heard, or viewed in that video. All right. Then we have the state's third motion to preclude defendant's witnesses. Let's discuss. I'm going to ask you again, Ms. Daybell, how do you pronounce the first person's name? Vaisa?
Vaisia.
Vaisia. Has your team or your investigator, anyone been able to locate that person?
I would have to check with my investigator, Your Honor.
What about Gabriel Bonilla?
I know that he has made contact several times with Gabriel. I don't know if he has interviewed him, but I know that he's made contact with him several times.
Do you know if he's been served with a subpoena?
We're looking that up now.
And while you're at it, I'm going to ask about Ashlyn Rind and Barry Cox.
Okay. What does it say? So it looks like that Ashlyn Rind was not served or found, that Gabe Bonilla, OPDS, several times tried to serve that subpoena and it has not been served, and I'm not sure on the Barry Cox.
All right, well, as was indicated by the state yesterday, they may be resting their case in chief sometime Thursday at the latest Monday. So you're kind of out of time on producing these witnesses for interview. I shouldn't say you're kind of out of time. You are out of time. I don't know that I need to effectively preclude them because you haven't been able to serve them or get them to appear, in which case they wouldn't be called as witnesses. In the event that they are served or surface, we'd still need to have a discussion of whether they have any relevant information and whether they should still be precluded because of the late disclosure of what that testimony might be. So unless they're produced to the state for an interview here within the next day or two, they would be effectively precluded. Even if they are produced for an interview, they still could be precluded. Zachary Cox, let's talk about Zachary Cox. Has he been subpoenaed? The state has interviewed that witness apparently, but based on their motion, they don't believe he has any relevant information to offer for this trial. Do you believe he has relevant information to offer?
I do, Your Honor.
And what is that?
He was with my brother, Adam Cox, that day on the 11th, and was in communication with Adam and Charles during that day and prior to that day.
What testimony would he offer that would be admissible, that would be relevant to either self-defense or this did or didn't occur?
He would be able to testify about what Adam already testified to, verify it or unverify it.
What specifically?
About what their itinerary was during that day and the day before and the following day.
When did this, well, the state interviewed this witness?
Obviously, I had no idea what he would be called about. So I talked to him for a few minutes.
Did he have any idea what he would be called about?
No.
All right.
I think unless the defendant says that he's relevant to impeach Adam in some way, then I don't really understand the relevance. I mean, she just said that he could be testified to verify what Adam said. So she's going to call him to confirm that what Adam said was correct.
Is that he would be confirming what Adam said, or would he be disputing what Adam said? What specifically? Can you give me some more specifics?
From his interview with my investigator, he would be disputing what Adam said.
Well, then I'm not aware of that interview with my understanding in interviewing the defense Jeff White, is that basically they spoke for a brief time, it got heated.
Who's they?
Jeff White and Zachary Cox. They did not have a full interview, is my understanding. I've not been provided with a recording of that, but in my discussion, my interview of Jeff White as a potential witness, he advised just that they, that Zach had advised that he had lived with them, meaning Charles and Lori, prior to them moving into this house, prior to them being separated. And that's about the extent of what I understood their interview to be. But maybe Mr. White can provide information as to how he...
Mr. White, do you have any information on... You interviewed Zachary Cox?
Yes.
All right. And did Mr. Cox provide information that would be relevant to this trial to you?
When I spoke to Mr. Cox, he was, in short, he was very belligerent. When we had spoken, I was asking about information about his father and him, as well as with Charles. The information that I did obtain from him did not agree with what his father had told me in the interview to the state.
His father being?
Adam.
No. Do you know if Zachary Cox has been served a subpoena?
As far as I know, I think that went through OPDS.
All right. I guess we'll see if he actually gets served and shows up at court. He may not, in which case it's not an issue I need to deal with. But if he does show up, we will need to flesh out whether he has relevant information, whether he should be allowed to testify.
So according to this, I need 29 and 4.
All right, who's the state going to be calling today?
Your Honor, the state, obviously we still have a witness on the stand, and then as I advised, we'll be calling Ariel Werther, and then we would call Detective Duncan. So
okay.
We may finish tomorrow, Your Honor.
Okay. My staff just signaled me that we're... Oh, the last juror did just show up. Okay, we'll bring the jury in. Let's have that witness come back up. Okay.
kind of deferring, but not really.
Okay.
All right, jury's present. Please be seated.
Go ahead and resume your cross.
Detective Inkland, yesterday we were talking about the chain of custody of the phone, so I have a couple questions on that. Yesterday we talked about that Charles' phone went from your hands to the property room, is that correct?
No.
Okay.
When I explained to you it's our computer crimes division, the detectives that do the downloads, our property room is about a mile away from the police department.
Okay. So it went from your hands to the computer crimes division, is that correct?
Correct. We usually take phones directly to them.
And how long was that between the time you left the house and you delivered that phone to them?
It's about 20-minute drive or so, and then just to the PD and upstairs to where their office is.
Okay. And who did you turn that over to at the computer crimes division?
Sergeant Olness was the sergeant of the unit at the time.
And did you use the passcode to access the phone at all?
I did not. I don't do downloads or exams of devices.
Okay. Did you look to see if the threatening text messages from Charles did actually exist?
I did not do an exam of the phone.
Yesterday, we watched the clip of my interview with you, and we discussed the threatening text messages. Is that correct?
Correct. You told me about them.
And you stated that I did not show them to you. Is that correct?
You did not show them to me, no.
And did you ask me to show them to you?
I did not.
Had I been cooperative all that day?
Yes.
Do you think I would have shown them to you if you would have asked me?
Objection, speculation.
Sustained.
Was Tylee also cooperative that day?
I believe so.
Was Alex cooperative that day?
I don't know. I did not have contact with Alex.
At all?
I did not interview him or talk to him, no.
Did I, in fact, inform you during that interview that I would have to show you them to explain them?
I believe so.
But you never asked me to show them to you?
I did not.
Did you ever request that I turn my phone over to you?
I did not.
Did you ever request that Tylee turn her phone over to you?
I did not.
In the course of your investigation, did you ever, in fact, see those threatening messages from Charles to me?
I did not. I did not look at any of the downloads of any of the phones.
Or in the reports or anything?
No.
You never came across those?
I did not review those reports or do any of the downloads of any of the phones.
You didn't review any of Detective Duncan's reports?
No.
None of Detective Moffitt's reports?
No.
Okay. Were you aware of the reason why I had two phones at the time?
I was not.
Did you ask me?
No, I wasn't aware you had two phones.
In the course of your investigation, did you ever learn that Charles had stolen my phone so I had to replace it?
I object to testifying and move to strike.
Sustained.
Your Honor, it's all part of the investigation.
You're an object again.
Sustained, it's testimony. The form of the question was testimony.
Were you aware that after he gave it back to me that I kept both phones?
I'm going to again object.
Sustained.
Detective, in the course of your investigation, did you learn that Charles had a $2 million life insurance policy on me?
I knew there was a life insurance policy. I don't know the amount.
Did you ever see it in any of the reports or?
I did not review, and I was not part of that portion of the investigation.
And you never saw that on any kind of Bates numbers?
I'm going to object again to asked and answered.
I'll allow it. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You didn't see it on any kind of Bates numbers?
No, Bates would be what the county attorney does. That's after me, so I didn't review that portion of the report.
Okay. Yesterday, during your direct, you said that, or during our discussion, you said that we arrived at the Chandler Police Station and that we were taken into the Family Advocacy Center. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is that what it's called?
Yes, the FAC, or Family Advocacy Center.
Okay. And was that just Tylee and myself that were taken to that part of the station?
I believe so, yes.
And so was Alex taken to the regular part of the police station?
He was in a different portion in an interview room in the person's crime section downstairs.
Okay. So we were taken into three different rooms, is that correct, when we arrived?
Three different interview rooms, yes.
And we were all three interviewed, is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
And you interviewed me, is that correct?
I did.
And you also interviewed Tylee, is that correct?
I did.
And Detective Moffitt is the one that interviewed Alex, is that correct?
I believe so.
And these interviews were all video and audio recorded, is that correct?
I believe so.
And did you have a supervisor or superior there at the Chandler Police Station watching these interviews live from a viewing room?
Not a supervisor.
Who was it?
There was a detective in sex crimes that was monitoring the interviews in the Family Advocacy Center. It's kind of standard, particularly the fact that Tylee was alone in the interview room at some point. So she was monitoring both interviews, and I don't know if there was anybody monitoring Detective Moffitt's interview because I was not a part of that.
Okay. And what was her name? Detective what?
Ashley Nolan.
And then you said that you had, so you didn't go in and monitor during the interview with Detective Moffitt and Alex? You didn't watch that one?
No, it was going on at the same time. I couldn't interview you and Tylee and monitor at the same time.
And then that means that Detective Duncan wasn't monitoring yours either at the same time, correct?
I don't know what Detective Duncan was doing.
I meant Detective Moffitt, I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know. I believe he was talking to Alex, but...
But he could have been monitoring yours and then talked to Alex after that. Is that correct?
Objection, speculation.
Sustained.
Were there other people in this monitoring room that you know of?
I believe Detective Nolan was monitoring from her desk. As the sex crimes detectives work within the Family Advocacy Center, they're in the same portion of the building.
Okay. So they can just monitor from their desk?
Correct.
They're not in like a separate room, is what you're saying?
No, there's a monitoring room upstairs in the dedicated suspect interview rooms, but none of those rooms were used in these three interviews that you're talking about.
Okay. And after these interviews were complete, who decided to send us home?
Well, I decided to drive you guys back to the house.
And who gave you authorization to release us, I guess?
Me.
You didn't have to talk to a superior for that?
No.
And what about Alex? Who released him?
That would be Detective Moffitt was involved with his interview. I was not.
So did you and Detective Moffitt have a discussion on what to do next after our interviews were complete?
Briefly, that we were done with the interviews and that at this point, whether or not to get you back to the house and how we were going to facilitate that.
Okay, but it was decided at that time that we would be brought back together and taken in the van to back to the house and dropped off?
It was the easiest way to get the three of you back at the same time.
Are you aware of the press release that was issued by Chandler Police Department later that day?
I am not.
You never read it?
I don't.
You never heard about it in the course of your investigation?
The press release?
Yeah.
No.
You never discussed it with any of the other detectives?
I would object. She's asked and answered.
Sustain.
Would the case agent have to be the one who would authorize that at the time?
It depends. As a case agent, we would like to have input or influence on what a press release is or states, but occasionally they're published by our PIO, our press information officer.
So you don't? Do you know if Detective Moffitt was the case agent at the time, is that correct?
He was.
And so do you know if he talked to the PIO and put that out or if he didn't know?
Objection, speculation.
Sustain.
Do you know if the PIO agent just put it out?
Objection, she doesn't know about this.
Do you know?
I have no idea.
Detective England, yesterday the prosecutor asked you several times, why didn't Lori just give the phone back? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Did you learn in your investigation that the entire altercation only lasted a few minutes?
That'd be a fair assessment.
Because we discussed that in our interview, is that correct?
We did.
So from the time Tyler came out with the bat and I ran outside is maybe less than 2 minutes. We discussed that. Is that correct?
We discussed that it probably happened in a short amount of time. I don't think we gave a specific time amount to what happened, but that it happened in a relatively short amount of time.
We didn't say that was like 1 to 2 minutes. Like
that was our discussion, yes.
Yeah, that was our discussion. Okay. So we would not have been arguing for a very long time. Is that correct?
I think it's relative as to how long you've been arguing or how long the altercation took.
Detective, in the course of your investigation, did you learn that JJ was outside in the car?
I did.
Did you learn that the car was still running?
I don't know.
Did you learn that JJ was in fact in the front seat?
I know that you had articulated he was put into the car, but I don't remember if you specifically said the front seat, but he was in the car.
Did you learn in the course of your investigation that JJ had autism?
Yes, you told me about that.
Did you verify that at his school?
I did speak with his school, yes.
When did you speak with the school?
During the course of the investigation, I had contact with the school in reference to when he attended and generally kind of the services the school provides.
Do you remember who you spoke to at the school at all?
The director of the school, and then subsequently there were a couple teachers that provided some information.
And how long after July 11th was that first communication with the school?
It was this several months later.
But during the course of this investigation, the Chandler Police Department did verify, I guess, that next day that that was, in fact, his school and he did attend there. Is that correct?
I believe so.
During this investigation, did you verify that we did, in fact, go through Burger King?
I did not, but it was verified.
Were you aware of what we ordered at Burger King?
You told me it was chicken fries and Sprite.
Had you seen, you hadn't seen that receipt?
I had not.
Okay. I guess that was, in fact, in the portion of one of the interviews that we watched yesterday. Is that correct?
Correct. You told me that in the interview.
So were you aware that we also ordered two bottles of water?
I was not aware, no.
And in your experience with people in stressful situations, when adrenaline kicks in, does it make you incredibly thirsty?
I don't object to speculation or knowledge.
If she knows, she can answer.
It can.
And when you're in fight or flight mode, does your adrenaline kick in your experience?
I'm going to object here to knowledge and foundation as to her knowledge of this.
I'll sustain the objection.
Did you offer Tylee and I apple juice at the Chandler Police Station?
I think I offered you something to drink and what we typically would have there.
Did you offer that for the purpose that adrenaline makes you thirsty?
No, I usually do it to people I interview if they'd like something to drink while they're there.
Detective England, have you ever seen me not calm?
I don't object to maybe foundation as to when.
All right. Sustain. Lay more foundation on when she has, what occasions she has had to observe you.
Well, yesterday you spoke often of my calm demeanor, my nonchalantness. Is that correct?
Correct.
So has there ever been an occasion when you have seen me when I was not calm?
Again, foundation as to when she has seen her on July 11th.
Please clarify the time frame you're referring to where she had an opportunity to observe you.
Any other time, Your Honor.
For example, how many hours on July?
Can we have a sidebar? Can I ask you a question?
All right, go ahead and continue with your cross.
Detective England, did you discover in your investigation that I had run outside without shoes?
Yes, kind of.
And did you learn in that investigation that we had stopped at Walgreens and I did purchase two pairs of flip-flops?
Yeah, you told me that.
I mean, and that was verified later?
It was by a different detective.
Okay. You didn't verify that at Walgreens or at Burger King, is that correct?
I did not. That was a different detective.
Okay. And as part of your investigation, did you view the video of me going into the Walgreens to purchase the flip-flops?
I did not.
Okay. And how hot was it that day on July 11th, 2019?
Warm.
Like in the hundreds?
July in Arizona, I'd say it was probably warm.
Would it have been difficult to walk JJ to his class on the cement with no shoes on, do you think?
Objection, relevance? Speculation.
Sustained. I think the jury can draw their own conclusions about the temperature in Arizona in mid-July.
Detective, did you learn in your investigation that after taking JJ to his classroom that Tylee and I headed straight back to the house?
I believe so.
And that we met with police. Is that correct?
Correct. You contacted...
As soon as we drove up, first contact was with...
Officer Krautheim.
Yes, Krautheim. Okay, thank you. Detective, is it your understanding that we fully cooperated with the police?
You were cooperative with interviews with me.
That we did as we were instructed.
You, with me in your interview, you were cooperative.
And Tylee was cooperative with you as well, correct?
I believe so.
And that you had said yesterday that we were voluntarily interviewed by the police, is that correct?
Correct, you were not in custody.
Did we know that?
I believe so.
When we were placed in those interview rooms, did we know that we could just walk out and leave any time? Was that explained to us, is my question.
You can ask that.
Can you say it again?
Was it explained to us at any time that we could just walk out of those interview rooms and leave if we had wanted to?
No.
Did I, in fact, ask you at one point if I could go to the ladies' room?
I believe so.
Detective, did we answer all the questions asked to us by the police that day?
By me, yes, I believe so.
And we were dropped off at home by the police, is that correct?
Correct, I drove you back to the house.
And we were given no further instructions, is that correct?
Just that we would be in touch with you at the conclusion of the search warrant.
Is it also correct that we voluntarily handed over Charles' phone to you when you asked for it?
Yes.
Did we delay in that or just do it immediately?
No, you gave it to me when I asked.
Was there any time, Detective, on July 11th, 2019, that we did not comply or cooperate fully with the police in their investigation?
In my interaction with you, you were cooperative.
Thank you. That's all I have, Your Honor.
Redirect.
I'm going to start with when you first arrived on scene. You were asked a lot yesterday when you first noticed the defendant. Were you standing there at the house just waiting and watching to see what cars would arrive?
No.
So when you first noticed the defendant was, you just happened to glance over and see another officer speaking with her?
Correct.
You were asked a lot about her demeanor that day, both when you first interacted with her, taking her over to the van, correct?
Correct.
Did Lori Vallow's behavior stand out to you?
It did.
Why?
So based on what was going on, that we had a homicide, her husband had been shot and killed, her brother was the one who shot and killed her husband, it was inside her home, her children were at least partially present to this event, her demeanor seemed odd given what was going on at the house that day.
So throughout this time, you're just noting her demeanor, right?
Correct.
You were asked about whether or not you were calm at the scene. Do you recall being asked that on cross?
I believe so.
Had you just seen your husband get shot?
No.
Inside your own home?
No.
By your brother?
No.
You were asked if the other officers at the scene were calm. You recall being asked that?
I do.
Were you aware of any of them having just seen their significant others being shot?
No.
By a family member?
No.
Inside their own home?
No.
With their children present?
No.
So would it be difficult to compare the demeanor of the officers and yourself with that of, say, Alex or Tylee or the defendant?
It would be a difficult comparison.
Not the same situation?
No.
You were asked a lot about Tylee's demeanor as well. Did you ever see her appearing to be panicked?
No.
Overwhelmed with emotions?
No.
Was there anything about her demeanor or your interactions with her that made you feel she needed any type of medical treatment or medication or anything?
No.
The death notification that you attempted to make, I'll say. So to understand this, were both Lori Vallow and Tylee inside the van?
They were inside the CR-288 van.
Okay. Can you describe for us what this van looks like? How is it, like a minivan? What is it?
No, it's a larger, like the 10 or 12 passenger vans, big full size, so the doors open from the side to get into, I think there's like three rows of seating, and they use the van to bring services out, but also to transport people, and they have car seats and things like that.
Okay. So when you went up to the van, you opened the door?
Correct, the side door to open to get into the rear portion of the van.
And you are with your sergeant at the time?
Correct.
And you asked if Lori would come out with you?
I was trying to get her to come out of the van to talk to her outside of Tylee's presence.
Why did you want to do that?
I felt it was more appropriate if I was about to tell somebody that a family member died to deliver it to her. And then typically what we'll try to do is kind of formulate a plan as to how we're going to tell children as to what happened.
But before that, did Lori Vallow tell you something?
She did.
What did she tell you?
She said that she already knew because she was there.
And this was not what you were expecting to hear?
It was not.
You were expecting that she had no idea?
Correct.
That she rolled back up to this house and sees her brother out there but doesn't know what's going on?
Correct.
After you learned that she was there, did you now feel like you wanted to ask her what happened?
Correct. We wanted to, at that point, transition to not just like a death notification and contacting her, but now we're potentially looking at doing witness interviews.
Did you advise her that you wanted to take her to the station to interview her?
I did.
Did you advise her you wanted to interview her daughter?
I did.
And did you, in fact, ask her to come with you in a different vehicle?
I did.
She agreed to do that?
She did.
Now, how old was Tylee?
16 or 17.
And she was put in a separate room than her mom. Why?
So when you're going to do witness interviews or any interviews, you want to do the interviews separately. You don't want to interview people together. Obviously, even best case scenario, there's going to be some influence. So you want a good recount or statement from somebody that's their own statement. It's what they saw, heard, felt, not influenced by anybody else in the room or participating in like a group interview.
Were you aware when you were conducting this interview with Lori and with Tylee of the amount of time that had occurred from the from when she had left the house to when 911 was called to when she was eventually interviewed?
Generally, not specific, but I knew the general time.
Initially at the scene, was there a misunderstanding? Well, let me ask you. When you arrived at the scene that morning, did you understand that when the 911 call came in is when the shooting occurred?
I think that was believed or assumed at the time we got to the scene.
Okay. And was that still your mindset when you were interviewing initially Lori Vallow?
Correct.
So when you started to interview her, you assumed that when that 911 call came in, the shooting had occurred just prior to that?
Correct.
When you were driving Lori back to the police station, to FAC for interviews, you again told us about her demeanor. Did that again stick out to you as unusual?
It did.
Why was that?
Again, this incident has unfolded and we're driving and she's just kind of chattering in the car, and the given what was going on in the situation and how she was acting, it was just odd to me.
You were asked about, just on cross, whether or not you gave the defendant a specific time when she could come back to the house. Do you recall that?
I believe so.
Did you have any concept of when Detective Coons or Duncan would be finished executing that search warrant on the house?
No, and that's not an assumption we would do.
So you don't have, they don't tell you a timeline like, hey, detective, we'll be done by 3 so they can come in?
No, because in processing a scene, you just don't know. So you wouldn't want to give that kind of time constraint when processing a scene. You're going to go through and very slowly and methodically collect and photograph and process. You're not going to limit a time. We typically try to give them an idea, maybe most of the night, several hours, but I wouldn't tell them a specific time to come back.
And your interactions with Lori, you hadn't even been in the house yet, right?
I had not.
So you have no concept of what the scene's going to be like?
Correct.
Or how long it might take?
Correct.
When you were interviewing the defendant, is it normal for you to offer drinks to people when they're being interviewed?
Absolutely.
Normal for you to allow them to use the restroom?
Yes.
And you did that here just like you normally would?
I did.
Nothing different or unusual in that?
No.
Detective, when you were interviewing the defendant on July 11th, did the defendant tell you that she and Charles argued about the phone prior to Tylee ever becoming involved?
Correct.
Did she tell you that she had initially obtained Charles's phone, and when he asked for it back, she said no?
Correct.
This is before Tylee's there.
That's right.
Does she tell you that she then, in fact, confronts Charles about who he's texting?
Correct.
And that's, again, before Charles is out there.
Before Tylee was there.
Before Tylee is there. And she advised you that she still wouldn't give him back his phone, even though he demanded it then.
Correct.
Did she tell you that she was walking away with Charles's phone prior to Tylee coming out while he is still demanding his phone back.
Correct.
So there were multiple occasions that she told you about prior to any bat or gun being involved that she could have just handed the phone back over.
That's correct.
And she did not.
That's correct.
In terms of your interview with the defendant, did you understand all the facts of the case when you interviewed the defendant?
No.
Did you, you told us you didn't understand the timeline yet in terms of when the shooting occurred versus when the 911 call occurred, right?
Correct.
So you were unaware of that 47-minute lapse in time?
Correct.
If you had known that, would you have asked about that?
I would have asked about that, yes.
When you were interviewing the defendant, you were unaware that she had Charles's phone, correct?
Correct.
If you had known that, would you have asked about that?
I would have asked about that, yes.
When the defendant was talking to you at one point, she told you that she knew her brother was texting with, or that Charles was texting with her brother, Adam. Do you recall that?
Yes, she told me that.
Understanding now that she had Charles's phone, would you have asked her how she learned about that?
I would have asked her about that, yes.
So when you're doing an interview with her at 9 or 10 in the morning, you didn't know that she'd had time to look into Charles's phone?
Correct.
You learned later that she had the password to get into his phone, right?
Correct.
So when she's telling you things, you're unaware that she has already potentially had the ability to access those.
That's true.
And what she's telling you in her interview contained information about the interaction between her brother Adam and Charles.
Right.
When you interviewed the defendant, were you aware of the days leading up to this, the interaction between Lori Vallow and her brother Alex?
I was not.
You weren't privy to things like iCloud accounts before you interviewed her?
No.
You weren't privy to downloaded cell phones before you interviewed her?
I was not.
You hadn't even been inside the house before you interviewed her?
Correct.
If you had been privy to all of the information in this case, would you have interviewed her differently?
I would have.
Would you have questioned her more?
Yes.
Would you have followed up more?
Yes.
Would you have asked for her phone then?
Yes.
When you interviewed Lori Vallow, at that time, were you just going off of what she said because you didn't know the rest of the facts?
Correct. It was an initial interview.
To see what she had to tell you?
Correct.
But you had nothing to do to be able to verify or validate anything she told you?
Correct.
I have no other questions, Your Honor.
All right. I see we have a few jury questions. I think we're going to have the party's approach for those who are having difficulty with their headsets.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.